This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars. Players only, come on, put your
pinky rings up to the moon. To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars. Players only, come on, put your
pinky rings up to the moon. To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be! Yeah!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back in the building. Another week. Live Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Streaming on RatPackSports.com and also the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports as well. Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show group and like page. You can find us there, and you can always join the conversation in the group. You can head over to Podbean as well and download all of our podcasts. And catch up on anything, any topic that we have going on. What we're talking about. So, with that being said, it is NFL Sunday, but at the same time, it is it's MLB Sunday. We got the Rays and the Red Sox getting ready to play two full games if they keep this up. With what they're doing, which is crazy. I hate extra innings in the playoffs, and I absolutely hate it. Don't like it. So I got on the screen here. I wish I had my second monitor set up because I could just throw the game here on my second monitor, but I don't have the monitor set up right now. So until I do that, I won't be able to take advantage of the dual monitor display. What is going on now? What you talking about, man? MLB is not part of my subscription. Did it just sign me out? Dude, hold on. Okay, so we're going to log in. This thing is acting a little crazy here. I was signed in on this thing, and then all of a sudden it kicked me out. So I don't know what's going on there, but let's try to get this game here back up. I don't know why I did that. But, I guess I'll just have to look at the live updates on ESPN website. So, can't watch it. I got one TV on the game here, and it is over because Boston just hit a freaking come on, man. Well, that's it. Home run to center field, Renfro, two-run home run, Rays out. Bottom of the 13, so Red Sox walk off with a victory. They're one game away from advancing, and the Rays are one game away for going home. This is why I say I hate playing division opponents in the playoffs, especially early on. Now, you later on, you know, in the divisional or the American League Championship, you know, series, I'm okay with that because at some point you gotta meet, but It's silly, man. I don't like it. It's the familiarity. It's just too much. We play each other 18 times a season, and you know, Rays are probably a better team, but when you break down everything, they're coming in and they're staying neck and neck. They're dead even because of the familiarity. With each other's rosters. So there's no advantage. There's really no advantage. And I said it at the beginning of the series that, I like the Rays to win the series, but at the end of the day, the Red Sox could easily win this series because of the familiarity of the Rays. So, and that's a good team. They won 92 games. It was either going to be them or New York at the end of the day. Boston bats were a little bit better, and the Yankees bullpen was a little bit worse. So I probably would have, been better off playing the Yankees than the Red Sox. But Red Sox took care of business and won. And they're playing game, and the Yankees lost. So we ended up with the freaking Red Sox. And, you know, they're out hitting us. And the Rays are just not getting the, you know, key hits when needed. You know, key guys. I'm gonna start calling out certain players as regular season warriors, because now this is becoming a pattern. When we get into the postseason, certain people or certain players always are struggling, and you need those bats. You need every single one of those bats that you had in the regular season in the postseason. Wander Franco is you know, steady. Austin Meadows is doing good. Cruz struggled at the plate this game. I mean, Yonder Diaz, he got a hit. So far in this series, dude, Brandon Lau, has not a single hit. And he did the same thing last postseason, and he did the same thing the season before that. So he's got to step up. Mike Zunino, you got to step up, bro. 0.83 batting average. Kevin Kiermaier, you got to step up. 0.91 batting average. Uh-uh. We can't have that, dude. We can't have that. These are main, you know, main players on our teams that ain't doing nothing. With three games into the series and they don't have a hit. That's crazy. So they got to be better. If they don't, then the Rays are going home. And I'll be the first one in the offseason to say, get them out of here. Because if you want to be a championship team, then your players got to show up when it matters the most. In the regular season, it don't matter. It's the postseason that matter. So if you're going to keep making it to the postseason and you're going to keep putting together these teams that's winning 95 to 100 games every season, you know you're going to be guaranteed a postseason spot. You need to be building that postseason roster. And right now, these dudes are not postseason players. Every year, every single year, they the same people struggling at the plate. They're not game-time players. You know, I spoke my piece in the past about Kevin Kiermaier. You know, he's all defense. His bat is garbage. His bat is garbage in the regular season. Mike Zunino is a strikeout king. He when he does get a hold of it, he's got some power, but he's a strikeout king. And it shows. Brandon Lau, I don't know, you know, maybe he just put too much pressure on himself in the playoffs, but he ain't getting the job done when the postseason come year after year. He struggles at the plate. So if you get cold feet in the postseason, see you later. We'll be fine. We've lost bats in the past. So I'm not attached to none of these players because the way our system designed is next man up. So you can't get the job done. You can't get it done. You know, find somebody that can. That ain't, you know, that's just my rant. You know, like I said, you win 100 games, you picked to go deep. You picked to make a deep run. You don't win 100 games and then get beat in the first round. You know, it's similar to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The year they had the best record in all the NHL, and then they went out and got swept in the playoffs. That is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. So they better wake up. Them bats better wake up, or tomorrow they will be playing. They will be packing their bats, getting ready to play golf. Now I hate to say it like that, but that's just the way it is. Tired of watching dudes strike out. You know, you look at the Red Sox hitters. They got, you know, Kyle Schwarber hitting batting average 385, Hernandez 500, Bogarts 357, Verdugo, 333. J.D. Martinez, 455. Renfro, 308. Vasquez, 333. And we got dudes that ain't even picked up a hit. Low, zero. Margot, 143. He's more of a pinch hitter, so I'm not really too concerned with him. Kevin Kiermaier, 091. Zanino, 083. I mean, come on, man. Come on. And then we got a bunch of, you know, Nelson Cruz. He's a veteran. I'm not worried about him. He'll fix it. But at least he got some hits. 231 ain't 089. Or 091 or 083 or 0 for 0 for. Come on, man. We could pitch all day long with you, but you still got to score runs. And right now the Red Sox bats are hot, and we got to match that. We can't just come to the plate, you know. We can't just come to the plate and just strike out. We swinging at everything. We swinging at low pitches. We swinging at pitches way inside. We swinging at pitches way high. Like, orchestrate some hits. You know what I'm saying? Orchestrate, string along some hits instead of just looking for the big boom. Orchestrate some hits. Slap the ball around the field, man. So far in this series, they're not doing that. They had a great – the first game, they won 5-0. You know, 5 runs is below average for the Rays. They averaged over almost 7 runs a game in the regular season. So, they got to do better, man. They got – like I said, tomorrow be it for them. They better come to play because tomorrow, that's it. They lose tomorrow, they going home. They going home. But and like here we go right here, Brandon Lau. And as I said before, this is every season. I can go and look at this man, you know, career splits, and it'll look the same. It'll look the same. You know, just great. You know, in the regular season, he's got some good numbers. Postseason batting, he's absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Now, last postseason, he was terrible. You want to see? I'm gonna just read these off real quick, and then we're gonna get into some football action because this is dedicated to Football Sunday. But Rays are in the postseason, so can't ignore that. They just finished playing the game, so I'm kind of on edge here. But okay, so I told you Brandon Lau struggled every season, right? So his regular season numbers in 2018, he had, this was sparingly. This is not really a, you know, small sample. This is a small sample size, but his batting average was .233. He had 25 RBI, 16 home runs. Okay. 2019, he played 82 games. He had a .270 batting average, 51 runs batted in, 17 home runs. 2020, last season, he played 56 games because that was a shortened season, 14 home runs, 37 runs batted in, .269 batting average. You know, .362 on base, slugging percentage over 500 on plate. Percentages on is 91. This season, he played 149 games. He was .247 batting average, 39 home runs, 99 runs batted in. I mean, regular season-wise, this dude can rake. So let's go and look at the postseason. 2019, he played 5 postseason games, 19 at-bats, 1 hit. I don't even have to, 4 hits. I ain't even got to get into what that is batting average wise. That's terrible. 211, 10 strikeouts. 2020, 76 at bats, 9 hits. That's not good. 4 home runs, 28 strikeouts, 118 batting average. Terrible. So far in this postseason, now 3 games, because this one here was based off of the 2 games, 3 games, 14 at-bats, no hits. I don't know how many times he struck out tonight, but there you go. That is your leading RBI guy in the regular season for the last, you know, few years. And then when he get into the postseason, he absolutely disappears. So, dude's got to be better, man. And then this is every year. So, you do your thing in the regular season, and then when you get in the postseason, bro, you poop. So, he's got to wake up. The bat got to wake up. He's hitting in the middle of the lineup. The bat has to wake up. He can't go over tomorrow. It's over for us. It's over. So, congratulations to the Red Sox, even though I hate them. You know, they got the job done at home. We should have took care of our business at home. And we would have been playing a closeout game. Instead, we're playing a closeout game tomorrow with the Red Sox, you know, up. All right. NFL Sunday. Boss Hogg would not be with us tonight. Had some personal matters that he's dealing with. So we wish him well. And show will continue on, and we'll get into some NBA action. I have Rat Pack Sports Show's Mr. William Graves on the line with me, patiently waiting out my rant. And my man said he had a bone to pick with me, so I guess we're gonna let him get started with this bone. Let's see how big this bone is. Well, what's going on, brother?
Man, I just want to know how you say our defense sucks when we have a top 10 defense.
No, we don't. We got a top 10. Really? We got a top 10 defense.
You best go look at the rankings on NFL.com.
I have. It says number one against the run, dead last against the pass. That is not a top-ranked defense. So, until they fix that,
we all together, we a top 10 defense.
Hey, it doesn't matter to me. You know me, boy. I'm not a numbers guy, bro.
Hold on. Because when you say our defense sucks, that means our entire defense.
Oh, they suck. They absolutely suck.
How you right? figure?
I'm gonna tell you why. Because in today's NFL, it is a passing league. Teams don't run the ball like they used to. So the number one run defense stat, that doesn't really mean nothing. When a team gets dropped back 50 times, a good team that could drop back 50 times, they're gonna carve you up. So in my eyes, and I've been saying this for years, I've been saying this since Todd Bowles got here. His style of defense is not to my liking because it's too much gambling risk involved in his style of defense, especially when you don't have the defensive backs that can cover people.
Okay,
you cannot. Well, I mean, he's doing it, and luckily we got, you know, what we have on offense, or it could be real bad, but. When you got a defense that's deteriorated in the secondary and you continue to blitz 40 to 50% of the time, half of them blitzes that you blitzing, you're not even getting to the quarterback.
Okay, but all I'm saying is for you to say that our entire defense sucks.
They suck, man.
It's inaccurate.
Okay, they suck it's against inaccurate. The pass. They suck against the pass. And in the running game, they're great against the run, but like I said, teams are not focused anymore running the ball. So the
okay, but all I'm saying is don't fit the entire defense into.
I have to, bro, because
into what spectrum? Because honestly, what you are saying. About the secondary, I mean, man, we've been saying this for years now. Our secondary needs help. But this is the red flag that I'm seeing, and this is the red flag that I'm going to raise here for a second. Okay. Our secondary is one of the worst in the league, but yet we have spent countless first and second round picks on our defensive secondary. Our defensive secondary should not be this bad.
Well, you got a bunch of guys in the secondary that are Swiss cheese because every season these guys are always getting hurt. So, the first thing is availability. And none of these guys are available because they can't stay healthy. So, if you can't stay healthy, then you're no better than you're no better than somebody that's third or fourth on the depth chart. Because you're not on the field,
at some point in time.
On top of this, I feel like, even when they're healthy, they're still not that good. So they hit a hot streak last season at the right time, but before they hit that hot streak. They wasn't that good then either. So, you know, luckily we got Tom Brady and the weapons we have on offense, because if we had a middle-of-the-road offense, we probably wouldn't be winning games right now.
This is the next thing that I'm going to – This is the thing that I keep going back to, and this is something that everybody seems to overlook. Yes, we have Tom Brady. Yes, we have all the weapons on offense. Okay, that's all well and good, but man, look, eventually Tom Brady and those weapons ain't gonna be there.
Yep.
Okay. We need to start building our defense for today's NFL. That's what we need to start doing, and I don't see it happen. Okay, our front seven, they're great. Okay, but that defensive secondary, like you just got done saying, it's Swiss cheese. I mean that's literally the only way to put it. I found that inaccurate when you said that our defense sucks, and I wanted to call you out on it.
Oh, well, hey, you know me, brother. I ain't got no problem you know, telling it like it is. And that's just the way I see it, because Miami is not a great, you know, offensive team. And they were doing some stuff on us today. And that's not good. Whatever, you know, the scheme, you cannot, okay, I'm not Todd Bowles. I haven't been an NFL coach for never, and Todd Bowles has a lot of experience being an NFL head coach. Head coach, okay. Defensive coordinator, whatever, you know, he's got a lot of accomplishments. But
okay.
I'm a football nerd. I'm a football mind. And the way that I watch okay. the game, the way that I see the game, is on par with the level of knowledge that it would take for a player playing on Sunday. I'm just not there. Now,
but okay, so
JP,
hold on because I have to interject on something here really quick, and I'll let you finish. Just because you have not coached in football, me and you have both played the game. We have played the game. We played several years. We have both been in coaching and everything like that. Me with baseball, you with basketball. Okay, so for you to say that just because somebody has held a different coaching position than you, that they might have a little more, or that they have more of a right to say or do something, I find that inaccurate. You have a coach's eye. A coach has a coach's eye. And, you know, so and me and you both being students of the game, both playing the game, I feel that our opinion should actually mean something.
Well, you may feel that way, but the only reason I'm saying that is because the listeners, they don't look at it like that. You know, if they're at the highest professional rank that you could possibly be at, and they're successful, then our little opinions don't mean nothing, because we haven't held that high position like the people who we criticizing. But I don't give a crap, because I know the game enough, and I watched it enough, and can't nobody tell me I don't know football, and I don't know how to break down tape, and I don't know how to recognize strengths and weaknesses when I'm watching the game. So this is what I'm going to keep saying. Just because we run a 3-4 doesn't make Jason Pierre-Paul a linebacker, and it don't make Shaq Barrett a linebacker. They're still defensive ends.
No, you're right on that.
Okay, and never ever should JPP or Shaq Barrett be trying to play coverage 1-on-1 against any running back in the league. I don't care if it's a third string running back, a fourth string running back, a second string running back. Those two dudes should never be caught on an island in a blitz scheme playing 1-on-1, 10, 20 yards downfield on a running back. But why am I seeing this with my team? That is poor scheming. That is poor scheming. Neither one of these dudes cannot cover. They can't cover. Our freaking linebackers that's supposed to be able to cover, they can't even cover. And you got JPP and Shaq Barrett trying to cover speedy running backs 10-plus yards downfield. You dropping them into coverage. What are you doing? JPP spent the majority of his career hands on the ground. He played college football here at USF, hands on the ground. He's a 4-3 traditional defensive end. Dude is not a cover linebacker. And that should be not. There shouldn't be no scheme where you're bringing a zero blitz and you got man-to-man coverage across the board and JPP is in coverage. Never. There should be no scheme with that. Him or Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
Him or Shaq Barrett. And that's just my opinion based on many years of experience watching football and playing football. Certain people can't cover.
Yeah, but here's also the other thing. Okay, going back to the secondary, we do not have the secondary to sit there and play man-on-man coverage. We don't have it.
We don't.
We do not have it.
We don't, bro. Well, I mean, we all see this. We all know this. But listen, one thing about coaching, sometimes you got to swallow your ego and do things untraditional to what you're accustomed to doing and adjust to your personnel. And listen,
you're exactly right.
The Buccaneers won today, folks. They won. But yet, myself and me and William Graves, we're criticizing the defense because we realize without our offense, our defense is screwed. Y'all, you know, the fans, the normal average fan, they going to be happy. You know, 45-17 or 24, whatever the score was, you know, it looks good. It looks real good. But the game wasn't always that wide open. We didn't open the game up until late in the third quarter. And I made a statement to a left field correspondent in the Rat Pack Sports chat room. Our offense has to play defense because if our defense is on the field too long, it is over. It is over, man. I have zero confidence in our defense stopping anybody in the passing game right now. Anybody. It showed when we played the Rams. Seen what Matt, when you faced a legitimate offensive power team, what happens? I was skeptical before all our dudes got hurt. So the fact that they're, you know, we missing three main players in our secondary, everybody should be worried about this passing game, about this pass defense. And the fact of the matter is what makes Bill Belichick great as a defensive coordinator, a defensive mind, is that his defensive changes based off his personnel. So from week to week, from opponent to opponent, you might see a completely different look on the defensive side of the football. My college football defensive coordinator was literally doing what Bill Belichick is doing in New England. We would game plan. We would sit every week. We would game plan, and our scheme would change based on who we played. So if a team was game planning for us and they was watching tape on our defense the week before or weeks prior to us playing them, the tape that they're watching may not even be anything what they see when we get on the field that on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So personnel and opponents dictated what we ran on defense and what we did as far as personnel groupings. It's a lot of defensive coordinators. It's a lot of coaches. This is just coaching. There's a lot of coaches that even if you down personnel, your guys are your starters for a reason. They're your starters for a reason. So when you lose those guys, you have to change it up to accommodate the guys that's now being forced into action because they can't do certain things that your starters can. If they could, they'll be starting for somebody else's team. But yet, we down all these starters, and Mr. Ty Bowles still running and gunning with these full blitz packages. You still dropping JPP in the coverage, Shaq Barrett in the coverage. Dude, that don't excite me when I see these dudes in coverage. I know they want to be, you know, multi-talented linebackers. They're not your boy TJ Watt. You're not of those likes. TJ Watt is an actual linebacker that is playing the 3-4 defensive end. He can actually cover downfield, but Pittsburgh used him majority rushing the passer. He drops in the coverage every now and then, but you ain't fooling nobody in no blitz package where you faking a rush from JPP or Shaq Barrett. You dropping him in pass coverage, and then you bringing pressure from somebody else. Your two best pass rushers are now your two worst cover guys. And you don't think teams going to pick on you? And you keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Like, last week in New England, Jones, he looked real comfortable in the pocket last week.
Yeah, he did.
And we was lucky to get out of New England with a win. Had the kicker not missed that field goal at the end of the game. So, I'm going to be that guy. I always am that guy. When everybody's, you know, uppity up, when things are going good, I'm looking at it from a whole different perspective. So,
well, yeah. Well, the way that you're looking at it is you're looking at it from a coach's perspective. Okay, yes, I mean I know you're happy that we're 4-1. You're a Bucs fan. Yeah, you're going to be happy, but you're looking at it from a coach's perspective. Okay, what can we work on? Okay, where can we get better and to actually become that dominant team?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm looking at it. Okay, so our next set of games before our bye week. We got another Thursday. We got a Thursday night game this coming Thursday against the Eagles. And they're going to present a different type of threat because of the quarterback over there. He's mobile and he does a lot of things with his legs, and the Eagles do a lot of things with their offense to get him on the move. So that's going to be, you know, something different. But you know, from a sheer passing game standpoint, I'm not so nervous about the Eagles. Because you got a young quarterback that's still learning the game and learning how to read and throw against NFL defenses. But by no means would this game be easy because the Eagles are a tough team. And, you know, they usually have a good defense. And, you know, they're well coached. So that game is going to be a challenge. Every Thursday night game is because of the short week. You know, I expect the Bucs to win that game. We have the Bears after that. Not a real threat. But they force you to play a sloppy style of football. And, you know, they're a tough team with a good defense and a good pass rush. And they also have a young quarterback that is, you know, starting as a rookie. So those are two games where we should, you know, see a little bit of relief in with our secondary. But then after that, you got the Saints. And look, we know Jameis. We know who he is. But I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you and say that he doesn't have the ability to carve us up, because he do. I mean, that's just it. He does have the ability to drop back and carve our defense up if we can't get pressure and we can't cover nobody. He's a quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback that's played 5 years in the league. He's turned the ball over a lot, and he's done a lot of, you know, good things as well for a quarterback that young. So he is capable of throwing for 350, 400 yards on us if we're not careful. Then you have Washington, and they can throw the ball with their quarterback, even though they've had some injury problems. Washington, you know, they could definitely throw the ball. They play hard. Defensively, they're struggling a little bit. But that is that. Then we have the Giants. We have a little bit of relief with these stretch of games because we're not facing no offensive juggernauts. So Saints might be the best offensive team we face other than the Colts. And then we have, after the Giants, we have the Colts. And then we have the Falcons. And then we have the Bills. And then we have the Saints and Panthers, Jets, Panthers. That is, listen, we picked a good year to be hurt on the back end of our defense, because that with that schedule, we ain't playing nobody that's really got a top-tier passing game outside of Buffalo. Buffalo might be the strongest team we play throwing the football the rest of the season.
Yeah, but what do you think that we should be getting some of our secondary back before the Buffalo game?
We should, but like I told you before, man, I wasn't too confident before, even with them. We grew up in the years of Money Kiffin, Tony Dungy, Rob Marinelli, Herm Edwards, you know, Lovie Smith, Shelton Coyles, Derrick Brooks, John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Ashman Singleton, Hardy Nickerson, Brian Kelly, Donnie Abraham, you know,
Dexter Jackson,
Dwight Smith. You know, I can roll them off the tongue pretty good. Warren Sapp, Steve White, Chidi Ahanotu, Simeon Rice, you know, Chachik Darby, Brad Culpepper. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
I'm glad that you brought up that defense, and this is the reason why. You know, during those years of those guys there, we were one of the most feared teams in the NFL. But you know what? Our offense
was not good.
I mean, it was good. It wasn't great. It was good. I mean, it was good enough to put 21, 28 points on the board. But you know what? The thing is that that's all we needed to put on the board. Because if you go back and you hear people talk about that Buccaneer defense, those offenses did not want to step on the field with that defense.
No, and you know,
listen to them; they'll tell you.
But it was the attitude, like, you know, the fear of facing the most ferocious pass rush that you was gonna ever see that whole season. That's what it was about. We didn't have to bring seven. We didn't have to blitz, you know, two and three guys just to create pressure. And that's with me. That's what I feel with Ty Bowles. If we're not bringing heat, we can't get pressure on the quarterback with rushing, mm-hmm. with just rushing who we rush. And mm-hmm. You know, for me, I just, you know, I'm not so confident in the Ty Bowles system like most people are, because I feel like it's a mm-hmm. it's one of those systems where when it's working, it's great, but when it's not, you got holes all over the place, and right now it's not working. Injuries. Just lack of execution on the defensive side of the ball, not executing our stunts properly, not getting to the quarterback enough with just rushing four. We got to bring five. We got to bring six. Sometimes we bring seven, and the quarterback still got time to make a throw. Now, if you bringing people like that, the quarterback shouldn't have time to get that throw off. The quarterback's still getting the throw off. So that is a problem.
Because you're bringing that many people, that quarterback should have no time.
He should have no time. But these offensive lines are picking it up. They're picking up the blitz, and you're bringing – you got seven people. You're bringing heat with zero coverage. You got man-to-man across the board, and you're bringing everybody – to the kitchen, and plus, and these quarterbacks are still comfortable in the pocket. It's like, you know, finally today we got a little bit of pressure, in the second half on the quarterback for Miami. But last week, we was trying to bring this same heat last week on New England, and my boy Jones was sitting back there, you know, eating cookies. He looked real comfortable. You know, against the Cowboys, you know, Dak Prescott mm-hmm. threw for 400 yards. Against the Rams, you know, Matthew Stafford went off. I mean, when we're playing elite, well, not, I ain't going to say elite because I don't like to use that word. When you're playing some of the top quarterbacks on the other side of the ball, we're going to struggle. And lucky enough, the rest of this season, we're not facing the top quarterback outside of Josh Allen. Well, I mean, you know, Sam Donald might throw the ball on us. He's been playing good for Carolina, but that's not till the end of the season. So, you know, we'll see, man. But we won the game. Yeah, right. We won the game, and you know.
What was that?
That is Boss Hog Sean Naylor on the line with us.
Buddy boy.
What up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, Boss Hog?
Just watching these seven field goals that were missed in the Bengals game this afternoon.
Yeah, that was a lot of missed field goals. Yeah, man, but, yeah. You know, the Bucs won. I know I might be sitting here sounding like a Debbie Downer, but I'm just trying to get people to understand it's not as rosy as we think. We're sitting at 3-1. But it is not as rosy as, well, 4-1 now, but it is not as rosy as you guys think. We've you know, this schedule works out in our favor. But when come playoff time, if they don't fix this, we're not even getting to the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, Carolina is a team we need to be worried about, because that team is playing defense, and they're getting something out of a team with no big names on it on either side of the ball. They and Christian McCaffrey ain't even been playing the last couple games. So Carolina is a team that, from a divisional standpoint, that's a team we need to be looking at. Obviously, you know, with Jameis Winston, New Orleans, they're going to remain in the hunt just because they're just well coached. And over time, I think Sean Payton will, you know, adjust his offense to Jameis Winston's strengths. And, you know, he's still going to make the bonehead plays every now and then, but we all know that. So,
Their defense in New Orleans is legit.
Oh yeah, that's the thing that's gonna keep them in the games. Their defense has been legit for quite a while now, and you know they're gonna play. That's gonna be the thing that keeps them in the games. You know they got a little bit tougher of a schedule. The Saints do. They have the Seahawks. Obviously they play us. They got the Titans on their schedule. They got the Bills on their schedule. So their schedule is a little bit more complicated, difficult, strength of schedule wise than us, just because of those other two record matchups that they have with Seattle and Tennessee. But they can run off some wins too.
Is Seattle really going to be that much of a threat?
Not without Russell Wilson. I mean, they play Seattle next week, so. But I say Geno Smith stepped up Thursday. He played good in the absence of Russell Wilson. So who knows? I mean, Geno Smith has had time to sit behind Russell Wilson and learn the game. You know, can he give them some relief for 6 weeks? We'll see. We'll see.
There's one team in the NFC that you failed to mention.
Oh, I know. I didn't fail to mention them. I just hadn't talked about them. I ain't missing. Unless,
who is that?
Who is that first? Because we might be talking about two different teams.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. See, I didn't. I know the Dallas Cowboys legit. So.
The Dallas Cowboys are 100% legit.
Dude, listen. Riggs, what is
as long as Dak stays healthy.
Yeah, they're going to be a problem.
They are a problem. They move the football. They have a ton of weapons. And they have a defense. You don't throw on Trey Diggs. He is a legitimate shutdown cornerback.
Trey Diggs, is he a rookie?
Second year out of Alabama.
Okay, yes. Okay. That dude there,
he's got an interception in every game this season.
He's going to be, if he continues this at this level, he'll be the best cornerback in the league by the midway point of this season. I still think, Ramsey is probably the top cornerback, cover cornerback in the league. But what that kid is doing in Dallas, Ramsey ain't done this. And that dude make up speed. He baited Mike Glennon into throwing that ball.
Yes. Yes, he did.
He baited him into throwing that ball, and I promise you, if I was a quarterback, I thought he was open too. I really did. And then when you see the replay, he gave that man about a 7-yard cushion and made up all that speed, made up every single inch of grass and intercepted that ball.
Just showed it on the halftime show.
That dude, he's impressive. He's impressive.
Yeah.
Dallas got a great pass rush. You know, that's what you need.
Yeah, it hurts me to admit, but the unbiased media person in me has got to say that the Dallas Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender in the NFC.